This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What do companies say about when their business starts recovering from the pandemic? I'm David Brancaccio. When big corporations think their businesses start to turn around from this COVID-19 emergency, many companies can't tell, but some are forecasting some improvement in the coming weeks. This week, so many companies are reporting their first quarter profits and losses that they collectively represent nearly half the value of the S&P 500 index. First quarter is history. The question is the near future. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
So when does this nightmare end? And as companies come out with their quarterly earnings reports, many of them give hints. What are you seeing?
We do have a couple of management teams this morning who were optimistic. 3M management came out and thought this quarter would be the bottom. Pfizer came out and thought things would start to improve in the second half. Merck made some comments and thought the virus would peak in the second quarter in the U.S. and the EU. Most companies are saying we just can't say anything because we can't tell for sure. The market is taking an overall optimistic view that we are going to come out of this and we are looking towards 2021 as returning to operating as normal.
And in a few minutes, we'll get the April consumer confidence report. I mean, I know if a surveyor called me, what kind of confidence would one exude?
Well, the confidence number will certainly be down. Prior was 120, but this number will be low. No one expects it to be anything but, so I think the market will look through it.
All right. That is Susan Schmidt. She's head of U.S. equities, Aviva Investors Chicago. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
In early trading, the Dow is up 308 points, 1.3%, similar percentage rise for the S&P 500. The NASDAQ is up 0.7%. There's a huge glut of crude oil given the collapse in demand caused by the pandemic. It's so big, this glut, that the world's oil storage tanks for the excess are nearly full, pushing the benchmark price in New York of crude down 4% to just over $12 a barrel. There have been volatile swings in that price all morning. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says the Trump administration is trying to ensure that the paycheck protection loans go to the smaller businesses for which they were intended. A second round of forgivable small business loans got underway yesterday, and there have been problems. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Some of the money from the first round of paycheck protection loans went to companies that definitely aren't small businesses. Some, like the LA Lakers, Marriott, and AutoNation, say they'll return the money. On CNBC this morning, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said he blames the borrowers who had to certify they were eligible for a small business paycheck protection loan.
So, you know, I want to be very clear. It's the borrowers who have criminal liability if they made this certification and it's not true.
Mnuchin also says every paycheck protection loan over $2 million will be audited. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
How much are governments and companies willing to pay to get medical services and equipment during the pandemic? Now, the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development is warning about the greasing of palms. The bribery and corruption in the healthcare industry is growing, a growing concern globally. Here's my Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig.
A growing trade in fake and defective pharmaceutical products is costing billions of dollars a year and putting lives at risk. That's the new warning from the OECD and the European Union's Intellectual Property Office. A joint report this month by the two groups found phony medical supplies like face masks and hand sanitizers were marketed as COVID-19 protection. The groups say these products have become an easy target because they can command high prices and are less easy to spot by officials. The OECD's General Secretary said the coronavirus pandemic is creating an environment ripe for corruption that could undermine the global response. The organization found more than half of fake drugs it's seized in recent years have come from India and a third from China. Many of the products, it says, have been bound for Europe and the U.S. I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Earlier this month, we talked to a Nobel Prize-winning economist about getting coronavirus aid quickly to people in poor countries via smartphone. Well, how about if more people actually had a bank account online? Given the pandemic, the credit card company MasterCard is expanding a global program, pledging this morning to get 1 billion unbanked people and 50 million unbanked very small businesses into the formal financial system. Michael Froman is vice chairman and president of strategic growth at MasterCard. Thank you for connecting.
Thanks for having me.
Give us a sense. What does banking unbanked people, what does it do for society and for them?
Well, one thing we have learned over the years is that being part of the digital economy is a pathway towards greater productivity and greater prosperity. And at a time like this, where the economy is under stress, it's the people who are most vulnerable who are bearing the biggest burden. So those who have been excluded from the financial sector, who don't have access to credit or to the basic digital tools of everyday life that many of us take for granted. And this is both in developing countries, but also in developed countries. Right here in the United States, tens of millions of people who don't have a bank account, who may not have any formal relationship with the financial system, they're being left behind as the economy continues to evolve.
Now, give us a sense of the scale of what MasterCard is trying to do. I mean, you're trying to get people connected to the digital economy. It's a lot of people. Give me a sense.
So 5 years ago, we set out the goal of bringing 500 million people into the financial system by the end of 2020. We've now achieved that goal about 9 months ahead of schedule. And what we've decided to do is to double down. So we've raised the goal to 1 billion people by 2025. And we've also adopted the goal of bringing 50 million micro and small businesses into the digital economy. And because there still remains a gender gap when it comes to financial inclusion, we're focusing particularly on reaching 25 million women-owned or women-run businesses as well.
What's the thinking on trying to be sure that an unbanked person, when they get connected to the digital economy, that it's not an exploitative relationship, that they're not signing up for credit they can't handle or for being dinged by lots of little fees?
Well, it's a very important point. And I think one thing that is sometimes underestimated is really the how expensive it is to be poor and the kinds of engagements and transactions that people who are financially vulnerable have to rely on to get access to their money. So one thing we're focused on is bringing our products and technology to the table so that they can get access to money in a cost-effective way.
Michael Froman is vice chairman and president of strategic growth at MasterCard. You also may remember him as U.S. trade representative during the Obama presidency. Mr. Froman, thank you for doing this.
Thanks very much for having me.
And the Wall Street Journal says GM, Chrysler, Fiat, and Ford, talking with their union, have pushed back their target for a limited reopening of vehicle factories to May 18th. The plan is for on-the-job social distancing and more protective gear. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.